Well, ladies and gents, the infighting is back, and it's back with a vengeance. This time it's over work. There are so many changes taking place in the UK at the moment, but also in the US, well, everywhere around the world. But we'll just focus on the areas and the geographic regions where most of my subscribers are from. But today we're going to talk heavily about the UK. We'll also touch upon the US and what's happening there. Now, you've probably seen all these videos going around on social media, whether it's YouTube or TikTok or X or wherever you're consuming the most media, of these younger generation people who are saying they just don't want to work anymore. These videos are quite well known now. There's a few of them that have got tens of millions, I almost said hundreds of millions, tens of millions of views now. And they're all outlining why they don't want to work anymore. And they're going into great detail into how they can't afford to live and everything else. And what you've got is you've got all these different groups now attacking each other, because what's happening is the UK is announcing now, oh, you may have to work until 71 or 75, some people are saying, years old before you get your pension. And of course, now people have started to fight and point fingers over all of these things. The older generation may, for example, say it's the younger generation, they're lazy, they're entitled, they don't want to work. You've then got the younger generation who say it's actually the older generation. They're asking for too much for too little wages, or they've created these problems in the first place. Of course, all of this is driven by mainstream media, of course, as we know in the first place. But to add insult to injury, now you have, and we'll go through a lot of this in today's video, the companies now, especially UK companies, are starting to give up on hiring native workers, so UK workers in particular. And I'll prove all of this to you with evidence there in the statistics. So what we're now seeing is UK companies are hiring from outside the UK to get labour. The other problem is the explosion in HR, human resources. The data is unparalleled on this. And not just that, the feedback from the data and from the interviews is very clear on all of these research companies who have gone through the data and have conducted interviews and surveys. A lot of people are saying that there is so much wokeness now in the interview process, or they think because of their ethnicity that they're not even going to get hired in the first place, that this is also causing a lot of problems. On top of this, we've just had all of this new data dumped, which tells a very negative story on what is actually happening with the job numbers. These revisions are quite startling. So let's have a look now then at the shared screen and go through some of this. Let's start by looking at the Telegraph, who I've got a couple of articles from them because they seem to be quite heavy on this at the moment. They lead with this headline: frustrated businesses seek staff abroad as Britons abandon work. Now, I'm going to give you some counter arguments to some of the things that I've been reading this week, because I have been reading quite heavily on this topic because it is a huge problem. Growing number of firms registered to sponsor work visas to fill 900,000 UK vacancies. The number of firms registering to become sponsors to hire abroad has doubled in the past 2 years. Again, doubled. That means 100% increase as hundreds of thousands of Britons abandon work. More than 9 million people of working age have dropped out of the jobs market. The economically inactive population has increased by 884,000 since before the pandemic. Big jumps in wages have not persuaded enough of them to take one of the more than 900,000 vacancies on offer. Now, here's the first thing I want to say about that. They're calling these big wage jumps. One newspaper even said huge wage increases. These things are not huge, they are not big. The wage increases haven't even kept up with inflation. It's there in the ONS data, the Office for National Statistics. You can look in most countries and you will see the exact same data that I've seen. The wages have not kept up with the inflation. They then go on to blame all the inflation and all sorts of other things. And in fact, a lot of these generations now are blaming the inflation on the older generation. They've caused it, etc. No, this is not who has caused the inflation. Inflation is created at the central bank. It is bankers that do this by creating new currency and pumping it into the supply. It's amazing to me that I've been talking about this for years and a lot of people still don't understand this simple concept and leave comments below these videos trying to say, no, it's greedy corporations causing the inflation. No, that is not who's causing it. It is government policy. It is the central bank policy causing the inflation. It then says British businesses are forced to hire overseas. Now look at these increases. This is absolutely staggering. So 2020 sort of era, all the way down to 2012, I guess we can say. We're less than 30,000 work visa sponsorships here. You can see it clearly in the data. And then we had this big jump in 2022, and then we have an even bigger jump now in 2023. And I guarantee this is going to be probably 120,000, if not more, in 2024. You're going to see a lot trying to get in before all these new visa changes come in, which is madness. They are avoiding the elephant in the room. More than 5 million people are now on out-of-work benefits, up from 3.5 million back in 2015. Home office figures show the number of new work visas offered last year jumped to 169,000, up 50%. The number of businesses registered to sponsor visas has more than doubled as bosses struggle to find workers among those already in the UK. Net migration into the UK hit 672,000. Again, we covered that on a video. That's not actually accurate. It's a significant number more than that because they're not counting a lot of the illegal migration. And they're saying the population's expected to hit 70 million by the end of 2026. Quite an interesting chart here when you look at the net births and what they're expecting towards 2050 here. And then when you look at the net migration, you look at how they are calculating this. Very interesting indeed. But then they go on to talk about things that are just strange to me. In an effort to reduce the flow of migrants, the government is raising the salary threshold for skilled workers moving to the UK. So they're completely avoiding or missing, well, I think avoiding is the correct word, the elephant in the room here. The problem isn't skilled workers flowing into the UK, which are desperately needed. The issue is illegal migration. And it's baffling to me they don't even talk about this. They talk about how they are stopping the flow of people coming into the country, and this is going to stop the services being overwhelmed. This is going to stop all these other problems and welfare and everything else. No, these things are not going to solve the problem. Sorry. See, they think that increasing this minimum salary from 26,200 to 38,700 is going to solve all these problems. Well, good luck with that. Let's see. Let's come back in a year's time and see if it did, because pretty much confident it won't. This is another thing then that they're not really explaining, and that is that they said that they were doing you a big favor, the government, if you look at this chart here. And they said that we're not going to be increasing the taxation rates in order to pay for everything between 2020 and 2023. Don't worry, we're the government, we're doing you a big favor. We're not raising taxes. The inflation was the tax. The inflation pushed up wages and pushed more people into higher tax brackets. The government is so sneaky the way it doesn't tell you these things and acts as though they're doing you this massive favor here by not raising taxes. No. The inflation is the tax. It was the tax. It's made everybody poorer. And I mean everybody. It doesn't matter if you are, you're an older person, you've got your life savings. Just 10% inflation wiped away 10% of your work. You know, however old you are when you retire. Let's say you start working at 20 and you retired at 65, right? That's 45 years. It wiped out 10% of those years that you worked. And remember, this scales depending on, you know, how much you earned at the start versus the end. The government doesn't do you any favors, but people keep thinking as though the government's doing you all these big favors. They are not. A Treasury spokesman said, after borrowing £400 billion to protect lives and livelihoods, yeah, Is that why all the small businesses collapsed? Throughout, and Putin's energy shock. No, it was a self-sanction by the government who sanctioned Russian energy, which then pushed up inflation even more, made us pay more for energy. But okay, let's put that to the side. We had to take some difficult decisions to help pay it back. All of this is part of our efforts to increase growth and boost productivity while taking decisive action to drive down the levels of net migration. What a load of nonsense. Again, they're saying that Britain is giving up on work, and they've got all these articles explaining why British people are just, you know, they're lazy and they don't want to work, and wow, what's happened to the British people? These are some of the laziest people on the earth. Again, I would strongly argue against that. However, let's add a caveat. Yes, there's always lazy people anywhere. And I mean anywhere. I've been to all around the world, even to areas that have just abstract poverty. There are still lazy people there as well. It's a very small minority. But look, laziness exists everywhere. You're always going to have people that would rather not work than work. This is called tipping point theory, pleasure to pain ratio, whatever you want to call it. But I would argue that there's something more behind this sort of British laziness. And I think it's the fact that there's so many people pouring into the country that are willing to work for peanuts. And again, this is all part of tipping point theory. If you are highly motivated to make a dangerous journey to another country, and again, not all of them are dangerous, some of them just fly in and then cross a border, but anyway, yes, you're going to be motivated to work for lower wages. This disincentivizes the native population of any developed country, because they feel as though they're getting looked over in a capitalistic society for someone who's willing to work for a lot lower. And just look at the cost of everything. Look at the inflation. Look at the food prices. Look, I don't need to tell you. You know what's happened to food prices. You know, you, especially if you look after the household budget. I think everyone knows that these prices have just been going absolutely ridiculous. Same with rent prices. You look at rent. Everyone knows what's going on. It's obvious. So when you say to people to work for absolute peanuts, where they can't even afford housing, they can't afford food, they can't afford a car payment, even on an older used car, you can't afford, you know, to have a nicer lifestyle. And even by nicer lifestyle, that might be something as simple as going out for a meal at a restaurant once every couple of weeks, once every few weeks. That might be going to watch a movie, which now costs an absolute fortune as well. So I'm giving you counter arguments here, because I do think there's a lot more to this case than just what these media people are saying, that the British people have just gone really lazy. I just don't see that. It's the same with the Americans. You've seen it in American media. They're saying Americans are just lazy. They don't want to work. They're self-entitled, etc., etc. That's, again, not my experience. Yes, some Americans, like most cultures, you're going to get some lazy people. But what I see is a culture of people who are very motivated, a lot of entrepreneurship there. A lot of people want to work and better themselves. But that's very difficult when wages are driven downwards very, very heavily, and when you're overlooked by your own government. Here's another article. Every week brings yet more evidence of Britain's disappearing culture of work and aspiration. Millions are no longer seeking employment. Now, this is quite interesting as well. Let me just read this out and I'll tell you why. Businesses are giving up looking for workers from among the British population, instead importing vast numbers of migrants. They also talk about poor mental health. And again, this is the elephant in the room. What caused this poor mental health? It was lockdowns. What's caused all these problems with health? It was during lockdowns. I think you know. And the point I was about to make there is what they're not really saying. They're saying the unemployment rate is, oh, it's just like 3% on average. They're giving this average number, 3%. But if you look at the amount of people that can work between 18 and 65 and who are choosing not to work, it's 20% of the population. They never talk about this. So although they'll give you a 3% unemployment rate, you've got an out-of-work rate of 20% in a very developed Western economy. Now, that tells you that there's something going on there. Older workers flirting with early retirement speak of their alienation from companies that have been captured by woke HR ideologies. I completely agree with this. I speak to a lot of older people and they tell me the exact same thing. If you've noticed this, please drop it in the comments. For some groups in employment, marginal tax rate of 60 or even 70% are an obvious disincentive to working harder or getting a promotion. For the young, house prices that are now massively out of kilter with incomes are an immovable barrier to aspiration. Again, absolutely true. You ask any young person if they think they're going to be able to buy their own house, and they'll tell you, no, they don't see that. Not for, you know, 10, 20, 30 years for some young people. There's just no possible way, and not in an area that they might want to live in. The other point they talked about correctly there is this high rate of taxation, you know, 60, 70% they refer to. I can relate to that because I was in that bracket. Now, most people will just be disincentivized to work, and that definitely happened to me. But what I decided was, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm just going to move because I don't want to keep earning money in my company. I'm happy to pay staff and, you know, PAYE and national insurance and all these other taxes. And then with office locations, premise locations, we're paying these high rates of business rates, which is, again, a tax to the government. You then pay VAT, value added tax, no value added, because you can't pass it on to the customer because you won't be competitive. Then if you want to pay yourself a dividend, you're paying a huge amount of tax on that dividend. You want to pay yourself a salary, you might be in the 40, 45% bracket. Then you've got to pay your national insurance for yourself. You know, there's all these crazy taxes. And people wonder why so many entrepreneurs like me are leaving the UK. Because we're being overlooked by our own government. People, normal citizens, don't feel they're being looked after at all. The country is going to absolute crap. Crime is rampant. All these problems going on, and yet a lot of people still can't see it. Well, they will see it when eventually we reach this tipping point. And that's the time that I'm most concerned about, because things are going to get crazy, and I definitely don't want to be around when all of this hits the fan. Now, I've got loads more I could talk about today. I've got easily another dozen articles and another 5 pages of notes, but I don't want to make the video too long, so we'll wrap it up here. Thank you so much for watching. Take care, God bless, and I'll see you on the next video.